I think we're joined by Rabbi David Mivis. Are you there, David?
Yes. Hi there, Phil.
Hey, thank you very much, David, for joining us. You picked the right time. Tomorrow is a big, big day. You're a member of Democrats Abroad.
That's right.
And I get the impression everybody's trying to get out the vote. Why don't you tell us about this?
Absolutely. Well, let's see. So listeners probably know that the there's 14 states that are having their primary elections tomorrow in the United States in the Democratic Party to choose the Democratic nominee. So those 14 states account for about one-third of all the delegates. It'll really be like a watershed moment, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd say tomorrow evening we will definitely know how things are sorting out. It won't be over yet. It still goes into June. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow's going to really kind of determine what direction it goes in.
Yes,
so that's where in the States, but you mentioned that I'm a member of Democrats Abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in Canada, you know, so some listeners may be thinking like, okay, you know, it's nice to know what's going on in the world, but what's this got to do with us?
Mm-hmm.
So there are close to a million American citizens living in Canada. And every one of them is entitled to vote in this election. Well, everyone is 18 years old by November.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to talk about that. Like, what can we do here?
Yeah. Well, by the way, you're with it's democratsabroad.org, right? So if people want to make sure they pick up all the information. I would assume, you know, one thing about voters here is that Americans is that they know how valuable a Medicare system is, one that covers everybody, and that's one of Bernie's number one things, is health care for everyone. And I know many politicians in the past in the U.S. have talked about it, but it's really getting some traction now.
Yeah. So it actually first came up under Teddy Roosevelt more than 100 years ago. And in the States, yes, you're laughing. Yes. In the States, of course, we still don't have that. As Bernie says often, there are millions of people that don't even have adequate insurance coverage. You know, people that do have adequate insurance coverage often have to pay even like $1,600 a month premium for their family. And even then, when they have some need for medical care, they still have to co-pay, which means that they pay a part of it. The insurance company pays a part of it. Mm-hmm. They have deductibles, which means they have to pay out a certain amount per year before their insurance even pays a penny. You know, mm-hmm. So it's actually pretty horrible in the U.S. So, yes, that's one of Bernie's main points. It's one of his most popular points. There's no other U.S. Democratic candidate who comes close to him in advocating for that. Others, like Elizabeth Warren, move in that direction, but don't go as far as he does. Mm-hmm. And we Americans who live in Canada know what that's worth. I've been here for 25 years. I'm blessed with three children. Had times when I had to take them to the emergency room. You know, we had births here. My mother-in-law, unfortunately, once broke her hip. Another several years, she had a cancer. We never paid a penny. We never paid a penny. And I know Americans here who are also on Democrats Abroad who came here like I did years ago and have actually life-threatening chronic diseases.
Uh-huh.
If they were to move back to the States, they could not afford care. They would die, literally die.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're happy to be in Canada, but in another way, they're actually like medical exiles and can't even go back. They would die if they went home. But
I've heard of people who don't want to go to visit for fear that they'd be in a, you know, have a crisis. It has to be on the back of your mind.
It happens.
I noticed this, a Congressman Ro Khanna, who is very strong for Bernie, he's raised a new medical issue and why it's so important to be choosing Bernie Sanders. He said that, well, now we have the coronavirus. He says to be tested for an ordinary American would cost about $3,000.
Yes, that's right.
So
yes. That's right. I've also heard about people who don't know the details, but something like got off a plane in the States, might have sniffled or something, mm-hmm. and they were taken into quarantine. They had to get tested to prove that they didn't have it, or maybe they do. Mm-hmm. But then they get the bill.
Yeah. No, that here you'd be encouraged, go to a doctor. In the United States, people put up their hands and say, I can't go to the doctor. It ought to really be a human rights issue, a basic human right.
But it gets so crazy because then the scary S word, socialist, gets thrown around, and people, you know, run away from that.
Yeah, well, that's Brit.
You know, that Bernie's going to make the U.S. like Venezuela or like Cuba.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we talk much more, I want to talk to everyone and say, if you know any Americans who would support the kind of thing we're talking about, they would support Bernie, they have to know that they can vote in the Democrats Abroad primary. It's going on right now, mm-hmm. and it's online. And an American citizen in Canada can register online and vote online until March 10th. Then it's over. But if anybody listening knows any Americans who would want to do that, they maybe don't even know about it. Many Americans have no idea. They've never heard of this. I want to say a website that they can go to register and to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy. It's www.democratsabroad.org/2020primary. Mm-hmm. democratsabroad.org/2020primary. And if anybody has any trouble, I would tell them to try to find me. Call me. Call Phil. Ask Phil how to get in touch with me. I will work it out. Every single vote is critical.
Yeah.
And I'll just add another thing here, which is so few people vote Democrats Abroad primary because they don't know about it,
mm-hmm.
that the ratio of votes to delegates is very low. I mean, I should say we elect our own delegates. Democrats Abroad has 13 delegates that we elect. And just there are states that only have like 16. So we're almost as strong as a state, but so few people vote. Mm-hmm. Each of our votes is as influential as 3 or 4 votes in any state. Mm-hmm. So again, if you know any Americans living here in Canada,
mm-hmm.
who would lean in the direction of supporting Bernie in this election, please tell them to go to democratsabroad.org/2020primary. They can register, and they can vote right online, and that can tip the balance.
And it couldn't be more crucial. But by the way, again, and it's David Mivis here we're speaking to, who you've done campaigning. You've actually gone, by the way, to the trouble of did you go to Iowa or one of those states to actually participate? What does that feel like?
Iowa was the first. I drove 1,000 kilometers. It felt great. It was it was amazing to see the outpouring of volunteer energy and people so inspired and so hopeful. It was great. And we're doing the same thing here. I spent this afternoon organizing to reach Americans here in Canada,
mm-hmm.
to be sure that they know that they can vote, and then be sure that they actually do. Mm-hmm. So it's very energizing. I also have to say, the last couple of days, I'm getting worried, you know, because especially with Buttigieg leaving the campaign, more establishment folks or the conservative people within the Democratic Party are going to consolidate, looks like, behind Biden rather than split the vote. You know, Bernie would come out with more delegates if the others split the vote, and that looks like that's coming to an end. Mm-hmm. See what happens tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked me, how did it feel in Iowa? And I said, it was great. It was like so much energy, you know, but right now I'm feeling more worried, actually.
Yeah.
And regardless, whether it's good energy or worry, we have to do everything we possibly can do.
Yeah.
And one single vote can tip the balance for a delegate. And it could be that one delegate could make the difference going into the convention. You know, there are major decisions that are made by a margin of one.
Yeah. And think about it. This is, you're talking about Bernie Sanders, who the game was, the first time he appeared sort of seriously on the scene, opposing Hillary Clinton, they tried to marginalize Bernie, and they went through the little game of, well, Bernie's a socialist, and he's an old guy from Vermont, etc. And then they found out that he is multi-generational in terms of his support. And he says, I don't take corporate money. That was supposed to be sudden death. And it turns out he can raise more money than the other guys because at $20 at $20 a hit, that's how he does it.
That's right. That's right. He has more individual donors than any campaign in history in the U.S.
So that's what we're talking about, the people
more,
now.
He raised more money without any billionaires. He has zero billionaires behind him. Everybody knows that Pete Buttigieg, who just dropped out, he literally had something like 40 billionaires backing him. Elizabeth Warren, who talks like...
She talked the talk, but she didn't turn out to be much of a walker.
Right. She has something like 35 billionaires contributing to her campaign. So Bernie has zero. I mean, I am proud to say I've given something like $200. I make a $10 donation every month.
Gee, that's...
That feels about right to me, but I'm also...
In Bernie circles, that's your splurging.
Time and energy. We're putting in our time and energy to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's tens of thousands of us.
Well,
we're texting, we're making mm-hmm. phone calls, you know, and even right here in Canada, we are finding our fellow Americans and getting them to vote. And any Canadian, I would bet virtually every Canadian knows Americans. You might not even know that they are Americans, but in your mm-hmm. workplace, in your classroom, in your place where you live, maybe even in your family, there probably are American citizens, and we blend in. We come in every size, shape, and color with every different accent, you know. But if any Canadians just start asking around,
yeah.
they will find, I'm almost sure, that they know some Americans, and I'm just as sure that those Americans don't know that there is a Democrats Abroad. Democrats Abroad elects its own delegates, and they can vote between yeah. now and March 10th. On that website. Yeah.
It's democratsabroad.org/2020primaries.
That's it.
Is that right?
And I just wanted, that is it. I also want to do a bit of a disclaimer here. I was invited to your show as a person who's active for Bernie. I'm mm-hmm. active in Democrats Abroad, but I'm not representing Democrats yeah. Abroad. Right? Democrats Abroad is a perfectly neutral organization.
Mm-hmm.
That gives all of us Americans a way to connect with each other and advocate for what we each believe, and we have some differences among us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not representing Democrats Abroad when I'm encouraging
yeah.
people.
But you're pointing out that that's where one goes to vote.
Every
American
party, we have, we have a spectrum of opinion. That's why we're having these primary elections, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I just want to be clear about that. Too, just
yeah,
mistake.
I really appreciate it. This is David Mivis here, by the way. And David, talking about the issues I think it's unprecedented. You mentioned Teddy Roosevelt. It's been a long time. I noticed that today that this Ro Khanna, I think that's his name, he said we need a new progressive era ushered in by Bernie. And I never thought I'd see this, where someone who is a democratic socialist says that we should cancel student debt, we should have a minimum wage of $15, I believe, free education through university, and abolish, I like this one, abolish cash bail, which for Americans is a big deal. There's a lot of, America is the world's leader in incarcerating people, and bail is a big ripoff. But all these things, and including, well, of course, number one, being a socialist, all these things, this is a paradigm shift? Is that the word we need? And it's such an attractive candidate.
It certainly shifted the discourse, right? When Bernie started the presidential campaign 4 years ago, all these ideas were just, they were not even on the table. They weren't spoken about.
They tried to laugh
Every
them off.
Every single thing you said.
They tried to make it a joke.
They tried to dismiss them. That's right. That's right. So We are working as hard as we can to actually win this thing, and it's possible that we will. But whether he gets elected or not, we've really shifted the discourse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even you didn't mention the Green New Deal, which came out of his campaign, right? And another thing he talks about is ending the perpetual wars.
Yes.
That's a term used by the U.S. Secretary of Defense, perpetual wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it exactly describes what we've been living with since I was born in 1952.
Yes, and before, actually.
Right? Yeah.
I have to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. So for a presidential candidate to directly talk about that, at least it puts it on the table, you know, and again, we just have to do everything we can to try to make that a reality. Tremendous energy behind this campaign, but there's also tremendous opposition to it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, which is quite striking, is totally unheard of. He speaks of the leader of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, in unflattering terms. That's not done in American politics. He wouldn't attend the AIPAC meeting. AIPAC meetings used to be a litmus. If you didn't go and if you didn't check all the boxes, you were finished.
Right.
I mean,
Bernie has contributed.
And Bernie is really challenged, as has some others now as well. But I think it was Bernie that kind of set the tone.
That's right. And just point out that Bernie, when he was a way younger man, he spent months in Israel. You know, he's a Jewish person. He grew up with the consciousness of Israel as part of his life. And when he was in his young 20s, he went there and he volunteered on a kibbutz. And he's paid attention to it ever since. So he knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will be one of the arguments against him, one of the arguments that will be used against him. Already we're hearing you know, bizarre accusations of him being an anti-Semite and ridiculous things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's ambassador to the United Nations today called him an imbecile and an idiot. Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, by the way, is a settler. He's one of the leaders of the settlers on the West Bank who directly steals land from Palestinians. But anyway, it puts it on the table in a different way. And we can get behind that. I think this is a great vehicle for us to move these issues front and center and support them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how things get done, is just each individual person taking on what they can do.
Yeah, it's again, in this thing of the paradigm shift, and I think that now we have, on this matter of the Middle East, which is very touchy, the issue of, you know, are we going to have a two-state solution? Are we going to have any solution to this problem? I think people welcome that we're going to have a candidate who's well-versed in the matter, whose heart's in the right place, and that he's not going to be intimidated by anybody's ambassador.
That's right. I think when you say not going to be intimidated, you could take that to every issue about Bernie, right? He doesn't really owe his career or his fundraising or anything to anyone else. He's got the most integrity, speaks the most honestly, I would say, like any politician I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we can trust him.
Yeah. And by the way, I should say, David, you must have had personal encounters with him.
No, not really.
You haven't?
No, more than anyone else. No.
Well, you shook his hand?
No.
Oh, I was looking for an anecdote. Well, I got beat on that one.
No, I haven't had that encounter. And in some ways, actually, Phil, this is...
See, I'm now starting to ask people how tall he is. I do stuff like that. You know, so. But he does. Well, he has for a guy who, he's a little bit reserved, but I think people like that in him. He's not a big glad-hander. He's not a hugger and all that. I mean, he doesn't mind, but he's not a phony in the sense of running down the line and shaking hands.
That's right. No, you see pictures of him certainly hugging people, and he doesn't hold back, and he's not, like, reserved in that way. But what he doesn't do is fake it.
Yeah.
He doesn't pretend. You know, there a few weeks ago, he had an interview with the editorial board of the New York Times, which most politicians would, like, just totally suck up to. And he said to them, I'm going to just quote him. He said, I don't tolerate bullshit very well. And he went on to say, like, I don't call you up on your birthday and wish you happy birthday because I want to get a good editorial. You know, and you could, you know, the camera kind of panned around the room looking at all these, like, dead faces of these, yes, you know, New York Times editors, like, not wanting to hear that. But that's what he said, and that's very honest, and that's him.
Yeah,
I also want to say, for me, ahead. I mean, you said, did I meet him or something? It's actually not about him, right? Mm-hmm. He says,
yes.
Not me, us. It's not about Bernie, yes, as a person. Bernie, in a way, is kind of a nexus or a focal point. It's about the policies. It's about the people in the country. And, you know, you asked me about Iowa. I'll tell you a story. I went to Iowa maybe a month ago. I went, what was it? It was middle of January or something. I drove to Iowa, and I was canvassing, door knocking. The very first door I knocked on was in a very, very comfortable neighborhood with large houses with big yards full of grass and trees. And the very first door I knocked on, a woman opened the door and invited me in because it was so cold. And I was wearing a Bernie button and a Bernie t-shirt, and she said she supports Bernie. And I just said, oh, like, well, why? Why is that? She said, oh, it's about his health care policies. And I said, oh, well, why is that? And when I said that, I could see her eyes actually welled up with tears. She almost started crying. And she told me that her husband, who was very healthy, was in his mid-50s, something like 3 or 4 years ago, she said he went to bed on Friday night and did not wake up on Saturday morning. He died in his sleep next to her in the bed. They had 3 children, and he had a good job. Once he died, they had no health insurance. The health insurance came from his employer. So when the employee didn't exist anymore, the health insurance went with him. So she was a single mom with 3 kids. She had been a stay-at-home mom for something like 20 years. And she had to get health insurance for her kids. And that's where I got it, that it cost $1,600 a month for her to insure herself and her kids. So she was very smart and resourceful. She got a job working as a supply teacher for the school board. That gave her insurance for herself, but she still had to pay something like $900 a month insurance for her kids. And I walked out of her door thinking, like, I kind of like went in there thinking I'm doing this for Bernie, but I came out feeling like I'm doing it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the millions of other people like her, people that are far worse off than she is. I mean, she has a roof over her head. But I'm just making this point. It's not for Bernie, right? Bernie's like kind of symbolic of doing it for all the people, actually everywhere. It, you know, it's not just the United States. The United States influences everything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't met Bernie. That's okay.
Well,
I don't need to meet Bernie. You know what I mean? Like, we see what's going on in this world.
Yep.
And we see how the forces are lining up. And we each need to decide, where do we want to be in this big picture? And I am very blessed and fortunate that I was born in the United States. Today I have the privilege of being able to vote there. You know, out of something like 7 billion or whatever people in the world, there's a couple hundred million that have that privilege. And I feel like I simply need to make use of it, you know, to use the privilege that I have. And I just want to encourage anyone, you know, who shares that privilege with me, who can vote in U.S. elections, to vote in that Democrats Abroad primary. And any Canadians that know any Americans, just tell them, we have about, not even 10 days, we have about another week and one day to get that done, to vote in that Democrats Abroad primary election.
Well, Rabbi David Miviser, thank you very much for that story. I agree, we're fighting for that household you visited and all other Americans who need that care. Thank you very, very much for talking to us.
Well, thank you, Phil. I really do appreciate you inviting me on and, you know, giving me a chance to share this with everybody.
Okay, Doug. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Take good care. All right.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. Rabbi David Miviser, and this is the Taylor Report. Phil Conlon has arrived, by the way. We have some music from John Lennon apropos of Bernie.